The National Constitution Center is calling this the Summer of Washington. On this week's News and Views, we consider the man behind the legend as the Constitution Center hosts two exhibitions, one compiled from his estate in Mount Vernon and one inspired by his household in Philadelphia. Under the leafy branches of a tree stands a tall young man, his skin fair, his eyes blue, his red hair tied back. This life-sized representation of the teenage George Washington was created through anthropological research and computer technology, using objects like a 1785 life mask from his estate at Mount Vernon, Virginia, where Laura Simo is curator of collections.
We also have the dentures. Measurements of those, for example, were taken to give a sense of what did he exactly look like.
The model, created for an educational facility at Mount Vernon that opened in 2006, is one of three in the current traveling exhibition at the National Constitution Center. There's also the 45-year-old general on his white horse at Valley Forge and the 57-year-old president taking the oath of office in New York City. Yet what George Washington looked like is less a puzzle than the rest of his story. National Constitution Center President David Eisner says within decades of the president's death, the legend began eclipsing the man.
Within a couple of years, the legend of him chopping down the cherry tree, which was a complete fabrication, was created.
Mythologizing a national hero like Washington may be understandable, but understanding his life, his values, and his humanity is equally important today, says Eisner.
People forget how incredible it was that he gave up power twice, first as the all-powerful general and then as the all-powerful president. When people wanted him to take authoritarian, in some case, royal power.
On the next News and Views, how to get beyond the legend. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. A summertime exhibition at the National Constitution Center explores the real George Washington. On this week's News and Views, we look at the man behind the myth. Curator of collections at George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, Laura Simo, says aside from his writings,
to me, the real way to get to a person is to look at their stuff, the material culture of their life. What we own, what we carry, what we wear, how we look, the objects that we surround ourselves with can tell us, in some cases, so much more than the written word can.
The Mount Vernon Ladies Association, which for more than 150 years has been preserving the first president's Virginia home and reacquiring possessions that were scattered, has organized this exhibition of paintings and decorative art, wax figures, architectural models, manuscripts, and other artifacts. The approximately 100 objects include many which were owned and used by the Washingtons. For example, a math workbook.
Washington's teaching himself here, in some cases some very complex pre-calculus level mathematics. And it's the earliest known book to have Washington's signature on the title page. We also have tablewares and dinnerwares that the Washingtons entertained with here in Philadelphia. These dishes, these pieces of silver, that's telling us something about the taste of the nation.
Getting to know Washington the man, says National Constitution Center President David Eisner, involves honoring his accomplishments, but also acknowledging his human frailties.
He was insecure about his lack of education. He had a lazy eye that appeared to make him cross-eyed, and so he always looked at you sideways when you were in a room with him so that it appeared that his eyes were focusing on you.
Washington also suffered from painful toothaches and eventually wore dentures, which are featured prominently in this show. On the next News and Views, George Washington and slavery. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News. The National Constitution Center is hosting exhibitions that consider George Washington through two of his households. On this week's News and Views, we look at the man behind the myth. The nine enslaved people who were part of the President's House in Philadelphia are the focus of an exhibition of art quilts co-hosted by the Constitution Center, the African American Museum, and the Visitors Center. Artist Susan Levering worked on two squares of a collaborative quilt called Whispering Walls. Each of its nine squares represent one person.
I did Giles, who was the wagon driver. And the other one that I did was Steels, who was footman for Washington. And he was one who could actually write. He had written and requested his freedom, and it was denied.
Another quilter, costume designer Stephanie Ama Young, whose quilt, Flying Geese, Journey of Faith, is at the African American Museum, chose to represent the seamstress, Oni Judge.
I felt a connection to her. And what I do on a sewing machine, she's doing it by hand, and I'm in awe. So she's making gowns, elaborate gowns that have to go over the big bustles and things that they wore. And it's not easy creating those shapes.
There was also a robust free African population in Philadelphia, which exhibition curator Michelle Flamer considered in creating her quilt called President's House, God, Geometry, and George.
I can just imagine as I stitch this quilt, Hercules going down to the dock and waiting for a shipment of spice or the fish that came in that day that was fresh that he would then take back to the kitchen and prepare, and how he mingled with other free people who looked just like him, but yet he was not free.
Washington expressed a desire to see the end of slavery and made provisions in his will to free his slaves. Both exhibitions, The President's House, The Untold Story in Quilts, as well as a traveling show called Discover the Real George Washington, New Views from Mount Vernon, run through September 5th. You can hear this entire three-part series online at WRTI.org. I'm Susan Lewis, WRTI News.